Just a word you say in creation's own, but when by sin humanity was marred, you took on flesh to save a world gone wrong. At Calvary, the soldiers chose the nails to fasten you upon the cruel tree. The hammer drove into your sinless hands. The nails you chose to pay sin's penalty. You are the Christ, Son of the living God. My rebel heart in mercy you pursued. No other name deserves my praise. You are my life, my all, and I belong to you. Triumphantly prevailing over hell, you broke sin's curse by rising from the dead, parading captives forth in victory. You freed my soul and crushed the serpent's head. And when one day redemption is complete, I gaze at last upon your face unveiled. My voice shall echo through eternity. In spite of me, your saving grace prevailed. You are the Christ,
that was the testimony of every one of us. It should be. He is everything to us, and he should have everything from us. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. One Sunday morning, two men were out on a boat fishing. After several hours on the lake without catching a single fish, one of the men said to his friend, "You know, we probably should have stayed home and gone to church this morning." The other man said, "Well, I could have stayed home, but I couldn't have gone to church." "Why is that?" asked his friend. "My wife is sick," he responded. He'll get there in a minute. About anything is a good enough excuse to keep somebody out of church is the sad part of that. Don't let things get in the way. On a little lighter tone, I came across this. Is I don't know why some people change churches. What difference does it make which one you stay home from? You know, that's true. If you're not going to go, it really doesn't matter what church you say is yours. But if you are going to go to church, you ought to find one that teaches and preaches the Word of God. designed like what God says it is. We're in a mini-series here on basic truths for Bible believers, and I've started here a three-part message dealing with what is the church. Last week we saw part one, that was God's design for the church. It is God's church, we saw. It's founded and by Him. It's purchased by His own blood. Therefore, it's His church to design. We saw the people of the church. We're redeemed. And every church ought to be full of membership of redeemed people, people that are saved. Unfortunately, there are too many churches around that if anybody will say, hey, I want to be a member of your church, they'll slap membership on them. It doesn't really matter whether they're saved or not. At least it appears that way, but we feel like that you should be redeemed. We are related to each other as brothers and sisters, as well as to God as our Father and His children. Therefore, we are responsible to represent Him. And then we ended up looking at the purpose of the church, an internal purpose of edification and an external purpose of evangelism. Today I want to look at the second part, which is God's goal for the church. It's found here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13 through 16. Verse 11 and 12 is where we saw God's design for the church there, where He gave some evangelists, some pastors and teachers there for the perfecting or the equipping of the saints for the work, so they can do the work of ministry, of service, so that it will bring edification to the body of Christ. That is God's design for the church. And then His goal is seen in verses 13 through 16, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto the perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, but by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly or closely joined together and compacted, the word means unified, unified by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That's a mouthful. But we're going to see and break that apart and see exactly what God has in mind as the goal for us here. Now, this outcome that we see that God wants for us is a growing in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ so that we can grow in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the spiritual or the characteristics of His. Christ-likeness is what God wants and designs and has planned for every one of us. The purpose of this mini-series on basic truths for Bible believers is not just for information's sake, but it's for transformation's sake. We are to know the Word of God. We're to know what the Lord Jesus Christ is like in order to be like Him. And that is the key of what we want, and that's what we should emphasize, not just from the pulpit here, but in your own private reading of the Word of God as well. It's been said, it's not how much you know, but how much you grow. That's what is important, and that's what we want to see. If I were, and if you were to, and God does, evaluate your life and say, 5 years ago, what were you like spiritually? And today, what are you like spiritually? Now, hopefully, like my hands are showing it right here, there's an increase to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. But if your life is no more like the Lord Jesus Christ than it was 5 years ago, you are stagnant as a believer. You are not growing. You have stepped outside of the purpose that God has for you in this world. Not a one of us comes to the point where we don't need to grow anymore. And that is true whether of age or whether of knowledge, etc. There. I've been in the ministry now, since 1980 officially, and 5 years of Bible college before that, and quite a few years of good teaching in my church, home church. And in all those years, I can say, man, I've come to a pretty good knowledge of the Word of God. I think I'm doing okay. can I just coast the rest of the way? And the answer is absolutely not. If I quit growing, I am not growing like the Lord wants me to. I am not doing and following the goal that He has for me. Paul, the apostle, you would look at him and say, that was a man that knew. He had been taught the Old Testament Scriptures. He had been used of God to write the majority of the New Testament Scriptures. And yet he testified, I have not yet attained to the goal that God has for me. And so none of us can come to that point and think that we don't have to grow anymore. We all need to be advancing. And that is going to be a big theme of what I want you to see in this passage here. There are four main goals, or four main outcomes, if you will, that God has designed for His church. And today we're going to look at this. What is the church? Part two there, God's goal for His church. Let's pray. Father, we do ask and pause right now and acknowledge that apart from You, we can do nothing. Lord, this is Your Word, and You have honored it. You have preserved it for us. You have promised that it will not return unto You void, but will accomplish that which You intend. Lord, as I mentioned earlier, every one of us here today have come. We're here in Your house, and You have a purpose for us through Your Word. And I pray that we would not just listen and learn it. Lord, in light of that, be transformed closer into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through Your Holy Spirit, do that work in my life as well as in each that are here today. And we'll praise You for all things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to look at four things here that are goals or outcomes that God wants us to be. And the first one is we are to be mature in stature. Look at verse 13. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. Now we're going to break down some terms here in just a moment. But to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God and to the perfect man and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now those terms, the unity of the faith there, is just talking about the Christian faith, the content of doctrine that we're taught and that we are to believe there. We ought to be unified in our beliefs. When you become a member of our church, one of the things that we ask is for you to read over our doctrinal statement and see if you're in agreement with that. Because we want you, first of all, to start out at least in the broad basics of what is there on the same page with us. But hopefully over the years, as you sit under the teaching of the Word and preaching of the Word of God, that we will all grow together in a unified belief of what Scripture is saying with our understanding. I praise the Lord for many of you that have gained a great understanding of the Word of God. You have grown. And Vicki and I was talking here just recently as far as looking at some ideas with some things on Sunday night and how that there are a lot of churches out here that just about anything will do. People just don't have any knowledge of the Word of God, but I've got to really be on my toes with you guys because you have learned and you have grown, and I praise the Lord for that. That is great testimony that is there. And we all must grow and continue in that direction. And there should be a unified belief there together. And we are to come into a knowledge of Christ. It's not talking about a saving knowledge of Christ here. He's talking to all believers there that are already saved, but to a deep, full, and accurate knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I've said before, how can you be like Christ if you don't know what Christ is like? And so we must know the Lord. We must grow in that grace of what He is like. And it comes by growing in that knowledge of what He's like. How do we have that knowledge of Christ? He says there after that, that we are to be a perfect man. Here's that maturity, spiritual maturity. Now, how many of you are perfect Christians today? Okay, that's what I thought. You're just like me. Not a one of us can say that we have arrived, as I mentioned a while ago. But we are to be on that progress there. And he defines, what is that perfect man? What is that complete man, that mature man, spiritually? He is one that has come to the measure of the fullness, a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is Christ's likeness. We've come, we have arrived to that figure. We're to be making progress on that road. When our kids were young, Dick and I used to measure them. They would get up to a door frame there, and they'd stand up tall, and we'd make a little mark, take a yardstick, and then later on they would come back up, and they'd stand, and they want to see how much they had grown from one time to the next. And we would measure them there with that yardstick. But you know, God measures us, His children, with a different standard than He does a yardstick there for them, for their growth. He measures us with whether or not we are measuring up to the image of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, with that in mind, there's a couple things that we need to understand. It might be okay for kids to look and to see a little growth here and so forth. But when we are measuring to the Lord Jesus Christ, the first thing that we need to understand is that particular glorious standard will never be met by us on this side of glory, this side of heaven. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and done what? Come short of the glory of God." Not a one of us has ever attained unto that fully. But we are to be aiming and to be pushing toward that. All of us are to advance closer and closer to that glory. And 2 Corinthians 3:18, which is our sanctification verse, I call it. "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass," the Word of God. What do we behold? We behold the glory of the Lord. We look at the Lord Jesus Christ, what He is like. And then we're transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Holy Spirit of God. So it is the Holy Spirit of God that takes the Word of God, shows us what the Son of God is like, and then begins to transform us into the same image. And if we don't get into the Word of God to see the glory of God, we'll never be like the image of God. We're stunning that growth. And so it must be that we've got to expose ourselves to the Word. Over a few pages there to Philippians chapter 3. As I mentioned a while ago of what Paul's testimony was in verse 12, it says, not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect. That is, he testifies, I haven't gotten there yet spiritually. I'm not that perfect man totally yet. But I follow after, that is, I press toward, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Jesus Christ, I may reach the goal that He has set for me, He's saying. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, past failures or past victories, it doesn't matter there, we put those behind us, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It was that pressing toward and moving toward that goal. Another quote that I came across from Vince Lombardi there of the Green Bay Packers. He says, "Perfection is not attainable." I'm going to stop right there. And as I mentioned to us, when we're talking about from Jesus Christ, none of us on this side of heaven are going to reach perfection, but, notice the rest of it, perfection is not attainable, but if we chase perfection, we'll catch excellence. And the point is this, that even though we might not be able to attain unto it fully, we ought to be chasing after that perfection. We ought to be pressing toward that mark to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. As I mentioned about your growth, when I started this message, if you'd have looked up at the clock, and the clock would have said, 11:35 or so, I forget what it was when I started, and here I've been preaching for, 20 minutes or so, 15 minutes, don't look at the clock now, but if you looked at it then, and here I preached for a while, and you look back, and there's only 2 minutes had gone off the clock, you say, what? Something is wrong with that clock. And if we look at your life and say, here, from the time you've gotten saved until now, and we only see just a little bit of growth, we might conclude the same thing. Something is wrong with this picture. We need to be pressing toward that goal. And if we put forth the effort and do the best that we can to grow from what we learn, God is going to bring us about in that walk. Granted, there's some people that's going to grow a lot faster than others. But every one of us ought to be growing. And we must be pursuing in order for that to take place. So we ought to be mature in stature. To do that, we must be learning and looking to the goal of the Lord Jesus Christ and pressing toward that goal. The second thing that we see, got to move on now. We are to be mature in stability. Look at verse 14, back over to Ephesians 4. That we henceforth be no more children. Now he's talking about children when it comes to our understanding. Last week I said from Corinthians there, it said, be no more children in understanding. In malice, be children in evil. But in understanding, be men, it said. We ought to be mature when it comes to our understanding of Scripture. And that's what he's talking about there. We are to be no more children in our understanding, because children in the understanding of the Word of God are easily tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, every kind of new thing that comes its way. And it's done by trickery. That's what the word sleight means, by the sleight of men. And cunning craftiness, their subtlety. You know that Satan, as he came to Eve in the garden in the form of the serpent there, it says that the serpent was more subtle than any other beast of the field. Satan comes in subtlety as well. In 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15, it describes Satan as transforming himself into an angel of light in order to deceive people. There are Christians today that are going off away from sound doctrine and believing all kinds of crazy things because they don't know enough of the Word of God to recognize that it's wrong. And so we must not be children anymore when it comes to our understanding of the Word of God. They try to use that to deceive, and that's what the devil is all about from the very beginning, is to deceive. A planned, subtle, systematized error that he wants to place in your lives there. That's why it's important for us to teach and to preach the Word of God from this pulpit and from our Sunday school classes, etc. Titus 2 and verse 1 says, speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, it says that some are not going to endure sound doctrine, but they're going to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, they want to go somewhere because they want to hear a message a certain way to make them feel a certain way. And it says there they will choose to put themselves under that kind of teaching. And then it says something else will happen. They will be drawn away from the Lord. That's not what they intend, but that's the outcome of that type of direction. We've got to stay under the sound teaching and preaching to be stable, to be mature in stability. God wants us to be steadfast and stable Christians in our knowledge and obedience to the sound doctrine. Thirdly, in verse 15, it says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. It speaks of the head, Christ there, being the head of the body, the church, is what he's talking about there. And we're to speak the truth. The truth would be sound doctrine, God's Word. And how are we to speak that truth? We're to do it in love. Not just because we love them, that's not what it's talking about, but we're to do it in a loving way. Proverbs 12:18 says, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech be always with grace. What is that grace that it's talking about? Grace is good that we do not deserve. And so when we speak to someone else, we're to speak to them in a way that is good, even if they don't deserve it. Because that's what God expects of us. And so it is their speaking in the truth in love. Why are we to speak the truth in love? that they may grow up into Him. They may mature spiritually. We need to speak the truth. You need to speak the truth in love, in a loving way, so that it will benefit the others spiritually. And then in verse 16, we are to be mature in service. Mature in stature, in stability, in speech, and now mature in service. Verse 16 says, from whom the whole body, fitly or as I said, closely joined together and compacted, unified by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working. The effectual working means the powerful working, and speaking of God. And He does, in the measure of every part. You know what every part represents? You? Me? We're all part of the body. And every part of the body is jointed together by these joints. We are held in place by the ligaments, if you will, there. The tendons that hold us all together. And He's saying there that we are to be in service and the church, all of us, because it is God's powerful working through us that brings about the edifying of the body. Notice it says there, His powerful working in the measure of every part, making increase in the body. And it's not just talking about numerical increase, but He's talking there about our spiritual growth, maturity. It will bring, and to the edifying, the building up, the benefiting spiritually, of itself in love. God wants us to be used individually within the church. The term spiritual gifts that God gives is that which is described in Scripture of us to every believer to be exercised inside the body of Christ. We are to do that, and God wants to use every believer. But it's important for us to recognize that we're not here just because we want to be saved. We're not here just because we want to look and learn about the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're here to learn and to grow and then to use that to minister to each other and to those outside as well. Because God uses and blesses that, and it's His power that makes the difference. We're to be mature. A cathedral in England was destroyed by German bombs during World War II. Some students helped to rebuild it, and the structure of Jesus, a statue of Jesus in the cathedral had been damaged. The students pieced it together, but the hands had been destroyed beyond retrieval. Rather than replace the hands, they placed a plaque beneath the statue there that read, "Christ has no hands but ours." There's a great truth to that. I want God to be able to work in your life to find out where your hands should be used here. Let your hands be His hands of service through you. Now, every one of us, as we look at God's goal for us, need to be mature when it comes to our stature, being like the Lord Jesus Christ. Mature in our stability, sound understanding of what He teaches. Mature in our speech, for the benefit of another spiritually, and mature in our service for the Lord there. None of us have attained unto that. But my question to you this morning as we close, are you on the road and moving? Are you on the road and moving? Progress is the key. None of us have arrived, but we ought to be making headway in that direction. The road starts with salvation. You're here today and you've never made that choice to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the starting place. That is where we begin. That's when we become a child of God. And then He wants to start that work in us to make us more like His Son. That's His goal for each one of us. It continues. As we stay in the Word, learning what Jesus Christ is like so that we can be changed into His image. Every head bow, please. I have preached the message. You've heard it. My prayer is that you understand the truth of God's Word that's been shared, and you know the goal that God has for you as a believer. My fear is that one day my ministry and your life will be over and your life will not have changed to be more mature. As a pastor, then, I have failed. As an individual, you have failed. We need to be together, seeking to put forth every effort to be gaining ground like the Lord Jesus Christ is. Will you submit to that next step? What is it that God wants you to do next in that progress for Him? Lord, I pray right now that each one of us would be honest with ourselves. We know that we're not perfect. We've not arrived. We've not attained. But Lord, I pray that we have not stagnated, but that we are seeking to do all we can to move in that direction of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. 275. 200.